Yeah, g'day. Sorry, it was just in a noisy office. I just wanted to go somewhere quiet.
No, that's all right, mate. I was just reading my lashing on your website.
Oh, well, it is what it is.
No, that's exactly right. Hey, look, these things happen. I just wanted to offer to come and see you and talk any of this through if you wanted to.
I'm not sure we need to catch up and talk anything through. I've got a pretty good picture of everything that's gone on. Is there anything you'd like to clarify that I've got wrong?
Well, to be honest, I haven't read through all your what you posted yet, so I couldn't tell you what you got wrong.
What I've done is I've started with the kids' can debacle. And then looked at a few other emails and stuff that we've got there, but there's plenty more to go through, like Te Aritu, for example, how much was spent on the fit out of that, and then going to the press and saying you were hard done by, that you were ripped off by as a franchisee and all of that sort of stuff. Is there anything you've got to say about that?
Oh, not really. I mean, look, I spent a whole lot of money at the Attitude and it didn't work and it ended up going bust. So it's hard to sort of elaborate on that.
Well, what did you mean in the email when you said you were going to gut the place when you emailed your lawyer?
When I said I was going to gut the place?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I was going to take the fit out.
Right. But you were emailing your lawyer and telling him who he was going to act for and what he was going to say and what he was going to do. Do you think that's above board?
Well, I mean, the lawyer in different situations would be acting for different people. So me telling the lawyer who he's acting for on a particular deal seems normal.
Yeah, this is the same lawyer that advised you how to launder a stolen check that you obtained through Operation Kite. What's your explanation for that?
Well, that wasn't a stolen cheque because at the time when I picked up the cheque, it was I was a director and shareholder of the company.
That's not what the bank said, and they won a court case.
No, there wasn't a court case around that cheque.
Well, do you want me to publish the documents surrounding the court case around that cheque?
No. So I understand. I'll walk you through that if you like.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm just really fascinated by Operation Kite and the community.
Yeah, no, that's right. I'll explain what happened. So myself and Paul Clayton owned a company called Infrastructure NZ together, okay?
Yep.
And we were both directors and shareholders of that company.
Yep.
And when I started going under, he decided that he didn't want to be in business with me anymore.
Yep.
And what he did is he set up a new company called Infrastructure and Contracts Limited.
Yep, got that.
And he started banking all the money, all the checks from the councils made out to Infrastructure NZ Limited and to Infrastructure and Contracts Limited.
Yep.
Okay, so I then went to the bank and said, hey, bank, and no doubt you've got the email. I said, you're on notice that you need to stop allowing him to bank checks into the wrong bank account.
Yeah.
Because under the Checks Act, you obviously can't bank a check made out to someone else into your account.
Well, you can because you've got advice from Mike Alexander that showed how you can do that.
Well, you can endorse a check into the account, but I endorsed the check into the account, and what the bank did is reverse that check.
Yeah. And they won a case surrounding that because you sued them and then you lost.
No, I didn't sue them about that.
What was that court case then about with the ASB?
The court case with the ASB was that I banked the check into my account, they reversed it, and then they pursued me for the money to the amount of the
so
check.
So you just told me a lie. You said that that court case wasn't about that check and it actually was about the check.
Well, no, sorry. The check was reversed. The court case was about me owing the bank $100,000.
Yeah.
So I was overdrawn.
But it's still related. The bank was saying they were entitled to reverse that check, that you weren't entitled to it. You were saying, yes, I was, and by the way, I don't owe you the money, and they won the case.
No, look, that's fine. What I was saying to you, Ken, was that I was entitled to pick up that check and bank it. I was a director and shareholder of the company.
Yeah.
what I did do is I banked it into the wrong account and they reversed it, which was the point I was making to the ANZ, who were allowing all the checks for the for infrastructure NZ to go into the contracts NZ contracts and infrastructure account. Because what they did is the rule for me was I banked the check into the into an account in a different name with the ASB and they reversed my check. But Paul Clayton, my business partner, he banked $1.3 million worth of checks into the wrong account at the ANZ, and the ANZ refused to reverse any of them. And I was going, well, why is there one rule for Mr. Clayton and a different rule for me? Because you can imagine how frustrated I am when I was a half shareholder in a company and a guy just quite simply set up a new company with the same name or with a similar name and then starts banking all his checks.
Hey, you learned from the master, though, didn't he? Because you've got a history of setting up bank accounts and new businesses with similar names and continuing to trade and do a whole lot of things. Phoenix Companies is your speciality, Matt.
Well, give me an example. What do you mean?
Well, I will be giving examples. I'll be doing this over the next 2 weeks, probably. There's so much stuff that about the sort of things that you've done. I mean, the transactions around Vengeance and the Vengeance liquidation are just astounding.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that's, the liquidator's going through that and asking all the questions, and I'm answering them.
Mm. So, what about your relationship with Yuta Iguchi?
I haven't talked to Utah probably for 12 months.
Yeah, what about the email that he sent to you when you were explaining how you how he and you were going to basically screw over Warren Powell, and Utah described Warren as the child Russian rapist?
Look, there is no love lost between me and Warren Powell. There's no doubt about that. And there's no love lost between
why is there no love lost between you and Warren Powell when Warren, when the documents that I've got show that in a 2 year period Hell via the basically the patronage of Warren Powell dumped about $600,000 into your accounts. Why would you have no love lost with someone who did that?
Yeah, I mean, but so over 2 years they dumped what, $600,000 into the account?
Well, that's what I've been able to verify so far.
Okay, so there's $600,000 for 2 years of Hell Pizza's marketing, compared to the likes of a Pizza Hut who spends $7 million a year. So that money didn't go to me and not pay for things. That paid for marketing services. Okay, so what portion of that went to me? I mean, if you, I would be happy, Cameron, if you said to me, Matt, show me every payment you received personally for Hell Pizza. I mean, what was my salary when I was at Hell Pizza, do you wonder? I mean, while I was doing that, that money might have been going in there, but my salary was, I think it was 863 net a week. You know, my concern here is it's very easy for you to take the information and go, okay, well, there was 600,000 given to you in 2 years. But yes, there was 600,000 given to me and 2 years, but that paid for a lot of marketing services, a lot of subcontractors, that paid for all of Iguchi's time on the thing. So what was left over for me?
Yeah, but there's a conflict there because you're working with Iguchi on other things.
Yeah, but it's only a conflict if people aren't aware of it. I mean, everyone knew that I was working with Iguchi on other things. It wasn't him, especially Warren. I mean, look, the guts is, and I'm not trying to weasel out of this. Look, you can put it out there. I mean, dude, I came to Auckland, worked my ass off to try and be big and famous and make millions of dollars, and I fucked it up no end. There is no doubt about that. And I fucked it up to a monumental, at a monumental level, and I'm not...
So why, I mean, that's fine that you accept that you fucked it up. I mean, everybody's fucked things up. I fucked things up. I had a company that went under, right? But what I didn't do was go and spread murk by helping journalists write stories. While I was still taking money from that organisation, what I didn't do was go and lay complaints with a serious fraud office, which were, had no merit or basis of foundation. And I certainly didn't collude with people, you know, that were in regulatory authorities around creating bad publicity for other people. But you did all of those things.
I appreciate that. Look, there's a whole other side to the story, and whether you want to hear it or not, I mean, the guts is...
Well, we've seen the other side of the story, because it's all been in the media, because you've nicely fed Bevan Hurley and Hazel Phillips and various other different people the stories that paint Warren Powell as some sort of a bad bastard. Now, I've never met Warren, haven't spoken to him, wouldn't have a clue about it, but what I'm seeing is something that's completely different from what the public has been told before. And that's why I'm running the story, because it shows the other side. So how can there be a third side to the story?
Well, there's not a third side. I mean, mate, like I said, you know, and hear me out here. I came to Auckland. I went hell for leather to try and do some good business. And I mean, mate, if you go back prior to my days at hell, and, you know, this is, I'm happy to supply this, and I'm not saying I was any kind of good Samaritan, but I set up Northland Community Foundation up north with Stephen Tindall, and I built 62 houses for Houses for Humanity. I did some really good shit, and I had some business I was really proud of. Okay, and then I started work with Hell Pizza, and that took 5 years of my life. I was there at probably 40 or 50 of the openings of the stores, and I worked my ass off for that business for 5 years. And at the end of that 5 years, I basically had, you know, less than nothing to show for it. I was completely tits up. Now, all the way along there, I was on the proviso. You know, Warren and me were best mates. We were best mates. We hung out every day. We were as close as anyone could be.
Yep.
And I always had, you know, Warren would fucking... $5-10 million in the bank with his arm around me going, don't worry, Matt, we'll sort you out in the end. I mean, when Hell Pizza bought the business back off PPF, I was supposed to be going in there as a 25% shareholder. That's what Warren had told me. And I was going, finally, my last 5 years of effort's actually going to pay off, because at the moment I've got nothing to show for anything I've done here. And then none of it eventuated, and I was left, mate, I live in a rented house off my father-in-law, and everyone goes, oh, he owns a house. My father-in-law bought a house, and I rented.
Yeah, that's the house in Greenhithe, right? Is it the one in Greenhithe? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's the one that you tried, you sent an email to Warren Powell saying, give me $660,000 for the house, and I'll stop all of the heat that you're getting.
Well,
do you think that's extortion? It sounds like extortion to me.
What I said to Warren was, I said, Warren, you can take the $660,000 for the house and fund it. And the reason I sent that through to him was because I wasn't in a position to settle out the purchase of the house. And when I bought the house, Warren agreed that he would finance the purchase of the house. That was another one of the promises he made to me. And here I was coming up on settlement of the house as a, you know, at that point I'd fucking gone tits.
Yeah, you were bankrupt at that point. You couldn't have even been discussing $660,000 without the official S&E knowing about that.
Now look, Warren was going to buy the house and let me rent it and live in it, okay? Back when we were mates, that's what we planned on doing. I was in a position where I had a house that was coming up for settlement, and it wasn't a house that I was purchasing. It was a house that was Rebecca was going to purchase in her name, Warren was going to fund it, and we were going to rent it, set up a rental agreement. Now, none of that's illegal or not above board. Everyone knew about that.
Mm.
And then Warren, when he fell out with me, pulled the funding and said, I'm not going to fund your mortgage, Matt. Get fucked. So I needed something in writing saying that he was refusing to not fund the mortgage. So if the settlement fell over, that I didn't get the, that I had some recourse back on him. Now, at the time, it might not have been wise. It might look like extortion, but all I was saying was, dude, you said you were going to buy the house and rent it back to me. Are you going to do it? Now, if the email didn't read like that, I mean, that's just a mistake on my part.
Hmm.
But look, I mean, I appreciate what I'm saying, Kenneth. Look, I've gotten to the end of, if you, and I would welcome it. If you came and saw me, you would see I live in a fucking 100-square-metre house.
A 100-square-metre house that you wanted $660,000 for?
Well, $660,000 is how much a house costs in Greenhithe, but it's 100 square metres, it's a little shit.
Well, you're making out like you're hard done by, Matt. But
I'm not hard done by, but, I mean, mate, I'm bankrupt. I don't just the point, Ken, is.
And then if you're a bankrupt, how can you work in work for Bell Jr.?
How can I work for Bell Jr.?
Yeah, if you're a bankrupt, handling liquidations.
No, well, there's a whole lot of rules around how I have to operate in that space. I have to meet weekly with both directors and give them an update on everything I do.
Yeah, speaking of which, the directors or the shareholders would appear to be Bruce Johnson. He's been a shareholder and lawyer and advisor of yours for quite some time. Looks a little untidy from where I'm looking at it from.
Bruce Johnson acts for Paul Graham and myself, so, I mean, he's in there. But again, all that's been disclosed. I mean, there's no reason why there can't be a portion of the shares of a company held in trust by Bruce, which is what it is. But, I mean, none of this is... Hey, if I wanted to do it behind closed doors, I'd put the shares in Graham and Paul's name and I'd ask them to, you know, to hide them in their name. I put it out in the open.
What's your nature of your relationship or business relationship with the official S&E?
My business relationship with him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Anthony, who's the official S&E, I think he's probably got maybe 100, 200 people he looks after.
Yeah. And that's pretty good for someone who only started at the official S&E in 2010.
Yeah, well, his boss, the boss who was Pete, who was the guy I had most of my dealings with, has left the official S&E now. Anthony's just a young guy.
Yeah. Strange that Anthony also happened to try and purchase a Hell franchise at one point prior to 2010. Don't you think that's a little bit unusual?
I can tell you right now, I mean, he didn't deal with me because I've never had anything to do with him.
Well, information that I've obtained would suggest that's the case.
But he was, that he dealt with me on purchasing a health.
I didn't say that he dealt with you. I just asked that whether you thought it was interesting that at one point prior to 2010, when he turned up at the official S&E and then was assigned to you, he had also tried to buy a Hell franchise.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the first I've heard of that. And, hey, look, if I talk to Anthony, I'll ask him whether that's the case just out of interest because I didn't know that.
Hmm.
I mean, I would be surprised by that, though, because he's only
Well, that's not really your problem. It's more Anthony's problem.
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, look, the point being, I had 3 years of fighting trying not to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
I went bankrupt. I'm not hard done by it. And it's almost, and this is why I said, why don't you catch up with me? I'm sure you've heard lots of fucking nasty shit. The reality is there's John Price, Warren Powell, and Mark Spring. The three of them have come at me from, mate, there's been letters sent to the IRD, there's been letters sent to just about every fucking government body, and I've been investigated by the company's office, by the IRD, by the Serious Fraud Office, by every fucking organisation.
Well, maybe they should have a look at all the stuff that I've got, because they might get a better picture.
Well, I mean, they've got a full copy of everything that you've got, because they've got a full copy of my hard drive.
I'm not sure that they have.
Well, they have, because, it got picked up at the same time as everyone else's got picked up.
So who was the person who went to the Serious Fraud Office then and tried to drop a whole lot of people into the murk with the Serious Fraud Office? Which, by the way, I understand now from a document I've got that the Serious Fraud Office has now dropped all investigations into this. Were you involved in sending that to the SFO?
I was, I can't talk about anything for the. Wouldn't you go into the Serious Fraud Office? If I did go in there, you sign a declaration saying that you're not going to talk about it or it's an imprisonable offence, which no doubt you can dig that out.
Are you going to rely on the fact that you're going to claim whistleblower status?
To be honest, you're talking about the Protected Disclosures Act.
Well, that's one of the things.
That is the whistleblower status that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Look, if they're out of it, I would probably be comfortable with just ringing them up and saying, hey, on a case by case basis, I'd want to tell Cam what was disclosed to you and just see what the reaction was. I just, you know, I'm in enough shit at the moment, and I don't want to get myself into more by having them upset. So I'd be happy to ring them and just say that's what I'm going to do and talk to you about it.
Yeah, well, you can do what you're going to do, Matt. It doesn't worry me in the slightest, and I'll do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I for the life of me go, you know, 3 years trying not to, went bankrupt.
Well, look, here's the thing, Matt, is that anything that I publish, if you think I've got it wrong, I'm saying to you that you have a full right of reply, and that I'll publish your right of reply.
Have you read my emails?
Yeah.
have you noticed that I have an excellent grasp of the English language and am a great writer?
Yeah, ever? Sure, but I'll help correct it for grammar. But the essential, right?
One of the things that Rebecca, my lady, laughed at last night when I read it. She said ghostwriting stories for the papers. You know, she laughed and said, "Matt, you can't write to save yourself."
Yeah.
And I said, well, fucker, Scam's got copies of my emails. Hopefully he notices that I can't write to save myself.
No, I mean, email correspondence is naturally less formal. I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is if you think I've get anything wrong, you have a right of reply. And I'm saying to you, in the interest of fairness and balance, that you have that right of reply.
Yeah, but, the big thing for me personally is the last thing I want everyone to, you know, mate, I am really dark at Warren, there's no doubt about it. I fucking did everything in my power to try and fucking slam into the wall. And on the flip side, he did everything in his power to slam me into the wall. We hated each other. We were two mates who both felt hurt that the other one fucked.
I'm not sure that that's accurate. I mean, I think it's accurate that you've done everything that you can to slam Warren Powell to the wall, but I haven't seen any evidence that Warren Powell's done anything in return other than cut you off from the drip feed.
No, but the thing is, Warren doesn't write emails, mate. Warren doesn't respond. Warren does things. Warren spends his whole day. I mean, the guy's got a $2,000 a month phone bill. Warren, I mean, the levels he went to was outstanding. I had phone calls from, I mean, one of the things, when he bought his new iPhone, I set it up for him and I synced it, and I put all my contacts onto his iPhone. This is back a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And when we fell out, I was getting phone calls from, I'm talking ex-girlfriends from 10 years ago, who had been rung by Warren for no other purpose than to go, did you know that Matt's a bankrupt loser and he's done this and done that and done this? And I'm just going, what the fuck? You know, I'm getting phone calls from these ex-girlfriends going, Matt, I got a call from some guy, Warren, and this is what he said. And he sat there and meticulously went through and rung every single contact on that fucking phone and told them what a loser I was. Now, you know, I've had that. I've had letters sent to my house saying that I've fucking cheated on my missus and that she's going to be getting photos of me with other girls. I've had...
Yeah, I mean, it's clear to me from all of the email correspondence that everybody involved in hell is basically a little bit fucked in the head, and that you're all busily stabbing each other in the back while all pretending to be good mates, and that's the overwhelming impression that I'm getting from everything
and
here.
To be, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the worst. If I was to take 5 years of my life and remove it from my head, it was the time I spent there working in Hell Peter. And I mean, I've discussed this with a lot of people. It was just soul-destroying. I behaved badly. I did shit that I wish I hadn't have done. Everyone was fucking into everyone else. No one trusted each other. It was just a bad place to be for that period. It was a fucking horrible, horrible place. And I don't disagree with you, man. I can't tell you enough how much, when I read this shit, I mean, when I read your initial email that came out, that's what sort of triggered this, because I had it forwarded on to me.
What initial email? I haven't sent an email to anybody.
The initial blog that said, this is what's coming, guys. And when I read it, I was just like, oh, fuck, man. That was such a bullshit bad time where I did stupid, dumb shit, where all the other boys were doing stupid, dumb shit. Everyone was just behaving badly. And, I have no doubt, Ken, that I'm going to get fucking crucified through this. There is no doubt.
What's your involvement with the Sunday program?
Sunday's doing a story on Hell Peach, aren't they?
I don't know. You're telling the story.
Well, my understanding was Sunday was looking to do a story on Hell Pizza and basically the disgruntled franchisees.
Right, of which you've gone to the press and said you're one and variously described yourself as owning 5 or 10 Hell Pizza stores.
Yeah, well, they obviously jumped on and found me, and they rang me and asked if I wanted to be interviewed on that show.
And were you?
No, fuck no. I can't think of anything worse as being, I mean, being front and centre. Like, how could I look as anything less than a complete fucking failure and fuck-up if I was to go on a TV show and here's Matt Blomfield, the bankrupt who had 5 stores fall over?
And why did you tell the Herald, why did you tell Bevan Hurley that you had 10 stores?
No.
Well, that's a news article that says here's Matt Blomfield who had 10 stores.
Well, that was their mistake. I mean, I'd never had 10 stores.
No, I know you never had 10 stores, but that's what the news media says.
Well, look, and people make mistakes. I mean, I didn't say I had 10
It's a little bit like saying that you've got a donation of 5,000 and it miraculously turns into 10,000.
Yeah, and again, Cam, you know, and I don't want to go tit for tat on you because you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm going to have to fucking take it on the chin and it's going to suck. But, look, initially Warren said 5, then Jan said, let's make it 10. I went back, rang them and said, should we make it 10? I mean, there's no financial benefit to me whether it's 5, 10 or 15 or 30. It just doesn't matter to me. And the point, you know, on that kids can thing, the point is that the job happened, the money was made. A whole lot of people came in and bought pizza, and you said, right, I mean, I was down there making pizzas with everyone else and selling pizzas, and the pizzas were sold for cash at the Kids Can event.
Yep.
So there was a big bundle of cash at the end of it.
Yep.
Okay, and that bundle of cash was given to someone. Now, who do you think was the likely recipient of that big bundle of cash prior to it going to Kids Can?
You tell me, Matt.
Well, the answer is, Wee Man either gave it to Warren or he gave it to me. Okay, because he wouldn't have given it to anyone else.
Or he kept it for himself.
Or he kept it for himself.
Now, isn't it strange that Wee Man is also one of these, you know, aggrieved franchisees? When in actual fact, the email trail and the evidence that I've got on Wee Man suggests he has no reason to be aggrieved, other than he seems to be strange.
I wouldn't disagree with you there. But the point being that you sort of pointed out that it went from 5 to 10. Now, that was because I was the marketing manager and I said we should give these guys 10 grand. Okay?
Yeah. But then you guys throw Warren under the bus with send this to Angry Otis.
Well, that was because Otis said to Stu and I, and that's what I mean, the emails in isolation, Warren said to Stu and I he didn't want to fucking pay them anything. He rang Stu angry going, I don't want to fucking pay these cunts anything. So we were like, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm going, Stu, how do you want to deal with this? And he's going, well, just fucking, if Otis doesn't want to pay it, Otis can fucking deal with it. And it got sent on to Otis. Now, that was Otis's decision to go fuck it and not pay it. The reason we sent it off to Otis is because we didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, dude, you got to remember I was an employee of the company.
Hang on a second. You've told people you were the owner of the company. Now you're talking about you're the employee. You're trying to invoke the Nuremberg defence. I was only doing what I was ordered to do.
Look, I'm not trying to... I'm just as much a... No one who knows me well is going to say I don't take responsibility for what I've done, Cam.
Well, from the emails, it looks like you don't take responsibility. You go and try and find someone else that can take the responsibility, or you throw them under the bus with a whole bunch of murk, and then you stand there and say, wasn't me, I was just an employee.
Who have I attacked apart from Warren Powell? Who's the other victims of my vicious attack?
Oh, well, that'll all come out in the next few days.
Yeah, but I'm asking you. I mean,
well, you bashed one guy up you didn't agree with.
I bashed one guy up?
Yeah.
Who did I bash up?
Well, it's on the blog. I've got your police record for it.
Who did I bash up?
I can't remember his name now, but I've put the PDF on the site. You got charged with it. You had to write a letter of apology. I've got a copy of that too.
I bashed at my heart. How many years ago was that?
Well, it's reasonably recent. Am I sore? Yeah, I'm sure. I've got the file from the police.
No, that's right. I mean, I'm happy to have a look at that. You
basically got diversion because you offered to write a letter of apology, and you wrote a letter of apology.
Well, it would have been a first offence.
Yeah, but you still bashed somebody.
So where is that on your site, mate? I mean, I'm just curious.
It's on the link on the word psychopath.
Oh, Matt is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never seen my police record.
Yeah, well, you have.
Matthew John, assault, withdrawn diversion, victim support, North Shore.
You don't remember that?
No, I do remember it. I know exactly what it was.
So you were blowing smoke up my ass 5 minutes ago when you were going, oh, who have I bashed up? I haven't bashed anybody up. Now you've seen the documentary evidence, suddenly you remember exactly what the details are.
Yeah, do you know what I did? I pushed the bailiff, and I'm not talking about assaulting. I pushed the bailiff, and if you met me, I can show you.
That's not usually a winning proposition, pushing a bailiff.
No, well, I learned that. I pushed the bailiff, and when I say pushed, I just pushed, and I in no way hurt the bailiff. And then about, probably, I said it must have been about an hour later, the police turned up and said, look, if anyone ever lays a hand on any court agent, we had no choice but to charge you with assault. And I went, oh, bummer. So I ended up getting charged with assault for pushing a bailiff.
Mm. Well, mate, I'll tell you what, if I've got any questions over other stuff that I can't line up with other evidence, then I'll just give you a call and clarify it. And then you feel free to call me if you need to clarify anything as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the cars, I mean, I saw you said, where's the M5, where's the Maserati, where's...
Oh, I know exactly where those are. They're repossessed.
Yeah, well, they were actually dropped back. But yeah, exactly.
Same thing. What about the digger in the truck that was allegedly stolen?
The digger in the truck is still with Paul Claydon and his new company.
So you're saying Paul Claydon has the digger in the truck?
Well, if it's the digger in truck I'm thinking about, which is the digger in truck owned by infrastructure, then that's where it would be.
Mm.
If it's some other digger in truck, I don't know.
Mm. Look, I've got to go. I've got someone waiting for me now. As I said, mate, if you've got anything, just either whack it through in the email. That email you sent last night at 12:30 got to me. So you've obviously got my right email address, and you can always just drop us a line.
Cam, look, mate, I'm happy to answer any questions if you want to ring me and ask them, but yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at this now. I mean, mate, there's not really many ways you can respond to, here's a pathological liar, here's a psychopath. I mean, what I say, no, I'm not. And it's just, it's, you know, you've got the reputation and the media for doing this. I can't win this fight, bro.
Well, I'll give you the same advice I give to politicians when I'm writing things about them is suck it up. Tomorrow there'll be 20 more posts over the top of it.
Well, and to be honest, that's all I can say is this will play out. I'm going to look like a cop for a couple of weeks. One of my mates rang me today and said to me, I'm not going to be having a coffee with you for the next 2 months, Matt. And I said, fucking fair enough. And that's just life for me. It sucks and fuck.
Sometimes it does, and I know, and I've been through that. At least you don't get named in Parliament. I get named in Parliament.
Yeah, but mate, I mean, dude, you're not a fucking. And I know you don't think it's a big deal. You're not a banker who fucking lost everything. I mean, you know, it's. You might think it's that I'm fucking. This snaky little fucking extortioning bankrupt.
No, I don't care one way or the other. I'm just telling a story. I've got no emotion. I've got no skin in the game. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. I'm just telling a story. And I'm using the facts that are to hand, and I'm not embellishing them in any way. And that's what it
yeah,
is.
See, Camden, I don't want to get into an argument about that, but, you know, when you say Matt is a psychopath, and it's the first thing I've read of yours, Matt is a psychopath.
Yeah, that's really a word, right? And it has a defined meaning and definition. And if I look through that, based on the evidence that I've got in documents and emails and all the rest of the things that I've got, you classically follow someone who follows the psychopathic behaviour and extreme narcissism as well. Now, I can say the same thing about myself. I have extreme narcissistic tendencies as well. Right?
Yeah.
So
I know,
you know,
that's
the thing that, you know, I've had, you know, awful things written about me, but the bottom line is that I'm actually producing evidence to back that up, why I've got that belief.
But a police report saying I got charged for assault when, I mean, you know now what that was for. Does that make me a psychopath? I mean,
no, that's just but one example. I mean, I could put 27 more if you want.
No, of course I don't. Hey, look, Cam, I appreciate your time, man, and it sucks and it's going to play out, and I'm open to any questions you want to ask.
Yep. Okay, mate.
Let's hope, like you
yep.
said, a whole lot more stories will come over the top of this fucking one.
Well, mate, I mean, the thing is, this isn't politics, and politics is my bag, and I'd rather bash Winston Peters, but he's keeping a low profile at the moment, so...
And look, once it blows over...
So it's just your turn.
Once it blows over, and I'm not going to... Like you said, this is a motive that I don't want to be trying to get alongside you and be your buddy so that you don't hurt me. But once you've finished your slamming, I'd be keen to just meet you and say good day anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. I've got duck shooting and the game bird season right now that I'm concentrating on, so I'll probably get bored with you by the end of the opening weekend.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to the beginning of duck shooting season like I never have in my life before.
Starts this weekend.
Okay, but maybe in a month's time or something.
Yep, we'll
you
see.
You can have a coffee with me and you can form your own opinions, because I'm no doubt you're at least a half-decent judge of character, that you deal with so many different people.
Well, mate, I'm used to dealing with politicians and they're pretty much scum.
Okay, well.
There you go.
You can form your own opinion in a month's time when you meet me. That would be a good thing.
Yep. Okay. I've got to go.
Okay, see you, Ken.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.